So the last week, Pastor Randy's been talking about money as we've been talking about the budget. And so Monday night I was watching his sermon, and I thought this week what would be a good tag on this is just to talk about generosity. Generosity not only with our money, but with our time, with our abilities, with just generosity, just being generous with our stuff. And so that's what that was the first thing that came to mind. That's what I thought I might talk about. And then when I sat down to start writing something on Wednesday morning, that's just not what came out. So that's not what we're talking about this morning. But we're going to run sort of in that vein a little bit. What I want you to hear this morning more than anything is that God will come through for you. God will come through for you. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're dealing with, but God will come through for you. This week, particularly at the Woodshed, has been a really difficult week. We've had some major drama flare-ups. We've had some, I was at the risk of losing three employees at once. And that would be, I've only got 22 or something like that. And so that would be a pretty heavy hit to lose three. That would be like 80 hours worth of employees that I've got to cover. Anyway, and so this was a very challenging week. Plus, I know that I'm moving. And so we're looking at houses, and we're doing stuff to ours. Like this week, we had all of our stuff in the living room, all of our kitchen stuff in the living room, because we were redoing the kitchen floor for somebody else to enjoy. And this coming week, we're going to redo the laundry room floor. And it's just, and there's all of that. Plus, there's this whole balance of like, okay, you want to ask just the right amount for your house, because you want top dollar for yours, but at the same time you don't want to price it too low, because then you give away money, and you don't want to price it too high, because then people don't want to come see it, or they think you're snotty about your house or whatever. And it's just like, so you got all of these things happening, and plus the Woodshed pressure, and then it's just a lot. And you guys know, because you live this stuff too. Maybe you're not moving, but maybe you are. I don't know. Maybe it's your car is acting up and it's time to decide, do I chunk it or do I fix it, right? I mean, that's a normal thing in our lives. Did Levi go back? Will you go get me a water from the fridge, please? You're just showing yours off? Is that what that was? He's like, I got one. So anyway, it's been a pretty challenging week for me personally, and like, I'm not really a guy who worries a lot. I don't do that. But this week, I let go of some of my discipline, and I worried some, and I dealt with just maybe not even so much like worry as it was just being overwhelmed with all of the stuff. It's just so much stuff to decide. And anyway, so this week when I sat down, what came out of me is that God will come through for me. I don't have to do this by myself. I don't have to do this. Not only do I have a great teammate who's going to get my water, and she won't hear that compliment, I have a great teammate in my wife that's going to help me make these decisions, but I've got the creator of the heavens and the earth, the guy who made the bricks that my house stands on, the guy who, anyway, just, I have him, and he sees the whole picture, not just my little bitty piece. He sees the whole picture, and that's so helpful to know that he sees the whole picture. Thank you. So God will come through for us, and I want to talk about three ways that God is going to come. Four ways where God is going to come through for you. And one of them is money. And that's where we're going to start, because that's what he was talking about. God will come through for you when it comes to money. Let's look at Philippians chapter 4. All right. Philippians chapter 4, verse 18. At the moment,
I have all I need and more. I am generously supplied with the gifts you sent me with Epaphroditus. They are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing to God. And this is not a brand new verse for any of you, but here it is. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches. He will take care of you. He will provide for you. And I know, man, money's hard. Money's hard because it is, it's, without it, you can't live. Right? Like my son this morning was asking, we were talking about somebody who no longer works the woodshed, and he said, that's okay, because then you can just go home and be lazy. That's what he said. And I was like, well, how are you going to pay your bills? And he didn't have an answer for that. So we still have bills to pay. We got to keep the roof over our head. We got to keep the car running. We got to keep the so on and so forth. And so money is tied to all of that anxiousness in our lives. Money is tied to so much of that stuff. And you got to have it. You got to have some. You don't have to have a lot. You got to have some just to make it through. And so, you know, Pastor Randy's up here talking about, you know, you should give your money to the church, right? Let me be perfectly honest with you. The church doesn't need your gift. You need to give it. And don't get me wrong. Like, this is a good place to put your money, right? Because you can trust the leadership here. And we're going to go over that with this budget stuff. You know, and speaking of the budget stuff, I was here for like 8 years. I was probably on the board for 6 or 7 of those years, something like that. We never wrote a budget that we weren't like, this is going to be tight. We never wrote one that was just like, hey, this one's easy, right? We'll just coast right on by. They're all tight. This one's tight too. We never wrote one that was just like, this is going to be easy peasy. And I'm guessing in your house, you're not writing them that are easy peasy either. But God always came through for the church, and God will always come through for you. We never missed any paychecks. We never missed any, you know, we always kept the lights on. We always kept the copier. The copier's expensive. I don't know if you guys realize that. I tell you, the copier is expensive. It costs us money every time we make a copy. It's crazy. Anyway, God will. So are you afraid to start tithing? Because here's the thing. This is the only thing in Scripture that I'm aware of where God says, try me. Try me and see if it works. My church in Hopkinsville, they actually have what they call a 90-day challenge. And they challenge you to tithe for 90 straight days, and if it doesn't work for you, they'll cut you a check back for every penny you spent. So, that's crazy. But nobody has ever asked for their money back, ever. Now, it's probably because you would be, you know, like just based on social standings and stuff, you'd probably be afraid to ask. But it's also because God came through for those people who were nervous about giving. He came through for them. He didn't, like, they didn't miss meals. They didn't miss, and I know 10% is a lot. Like, 10% is a lot of money. I remember hearing a basketball player or some famous guy one time say, you know, 10% of a million is still a lot. And that's true. It still takes faith to write a $100,000 check. But at the same time, like, you still got $900,000 left to live on. You know, the rest of us got, you know, $9,000 to live on. Whatever. So, if you're afraid to tithe, then just try it. Just try it. Open up your heart and open up your wallet for the Lord and just see what He'll do. And there's story after story after story after story of, you know, some guy who gave his money and then groceries just showed up on his porch, or mail showed, or a check came in the mail, or whatever it is. And you could be one of those stories. You could be one of those stories. And I know it takes faith. I know it takes faith. I give my money away to a church every month myself. It takes faith. And it's hard to write those checks. You know, I need I need to replace some more flooring in my house. There's $2,000 or $3,000. That's not a lot of money. That's a lot of money, and a lot of that could be tithe. So just put your faith in action, right? Trust that God will come through for you because He always does. Wisdom. Do you need wisdom? Let's look at James. This is a great scripture, and actually was Levi's scripture of the week. Every week they, you know, 1st through 12th grade, every week they have a scripture that they memorize for the week, and then they have a test on it at the end of the week. And this was Levi's scripture this week, and when I told him that, he was like, "Oh, did you take it from my..." No, it's in the Bible. I found it from the Bible. So, James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask Him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Do you need wisdom? Do you need to know whether or not it's time to sell the car or fix the car? Do you need, is it time to switch jobs? Is it time to take a new, take some classes, so you can get a better job? And you need wisdom on when is the right time to do all that stuff. When is the right time to put your house on the market? Right, that's what I'm currently going through. How much do I ask for it? And so one of the things I really love about this scripture is that it says, if you need wisdom, just ask, and God will give it to you. So here's where I stand on this. Because sometimes you ask God, okay, Lord, what should I ask for my house? Because I'm bouncing somewhere between $375 and $400. That's just, and the realtor said maybe $360, something like that. And that, man, that just feels low to me. So, but she's a realtor and she does this for her living. Anyway, so I'm bouncing around between these things. And what I'm looking for is wisdom that comes from above. I'm not like, I like the realtor, but, she's a human, right? Same as me. And so I'm looking for wisdom. So here's what I do. I go to the Father in my quiet time, in my time with the Lord, and I say, okay, Father, your word says that you'll give me wisdom if I just ask for it. So, Lord, I'm asking for wisdom. What should I ask for my house? You tell me. And sometimes, in a moment like that, you get it in your spirit. It comes to you right then. Bam! You ask X amount of dollars, whatever that is. Or, yes, it's time to fix the car, take it to this mechanic. Sometimes that happens. That's not very often. It's not very often that it comes that way. Most of the time, what I do is I pray about it several times. I ask the Lord for wisdom. And then I just trust myself to make the right choice. I just trust that the Lord has given me wisdom. Because the booming voice didn't come, right? But He still comes through for me. And He still sees the whole picture. He doesn't just see my little piece like I do. He sees the whole picture. He sees where we're going to wind up. He sees where we're coming from. He knows the whole thing. He knows our finances. He knows the whole thing. And so He knows exactly the right. He knows who's going to buy my house. He knows how much money they have and the timetable that they have to buy it in and all that sort of stuff. He knows the whole thing. And so what I have to do is just relax and trust the Lord that He's given me the wisdom. And what's funny about that is, of course, I have this fantastic teammate and my wife. We have both been praying about this for weeks, and we both sort of separately came to the same number. We think we're going to ask $380. Okay, so if you want my house, that's what it's going to cost. It's going to cost $380. I would put my offer in pretty soon. I'm just saying, because we're going to sell it. We're going to put it hopefully on the market. Not this week, but the following week. Hopefully, if we can get the floor and our hot water heater. You guys don't care about any of this. The hot water heater's not, it's like 19 years old or something. It's got to go. The homeowner's inspection will catch that and they'll be like, no. And so we're going to have to fix it anyway, so we might as well repair it. Anyway, you guys don't care about that. But the Lord will come through for you. Do you need wisdom? He's got gobs of it. He's got so much wisdom. He knows. And that's, that's the thing. This is one of the things that, like, having children has really helped me with. Like, you know that if your son puts a paperclip in an outlet, he's going to get shocked. You know that because you see the whole story. You can see the electricity behind it. Well, you can't see the electricity behind the wall, like X-Men or something. Anyway, you can see, you know that there's electricity there. You know, he doesn't see that. He just sees paperclip and outlet. That's all he can see. And so in my little limited vision, all I can see is paperclip and outlet. And I know what I want. But God sees the whole picture. And that's what really, that one of the things I've learned the most from parenting is just that, that I can see the whole story. You know, my other son, he wants to post pictures, he wants to put stuff online, and I see the whole story, but he only sees just that limited, he doesn't know what's out there. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to tell him what's out there. I just want to, you can't put yourself out there like that. Anyway, okay. So, God sees the whole story. He knows the whole thing. And he knows your whole story too. I'm up here talking about myself this whole time, but he knows your whole story. He knows what you're going through. And husband and wife aren't exactly going through the same thing at the same time either. Like, just because you're going through this, you know, it's a whole different emotions. It's whole different thoughts. It's whole different. I mean, Lord knows our husbands and wives are not always thinking on the same level, right? So just because you're going through it together doesn't mean that you're experiencing it exactly the same. And so, do you need wisdom? The Bible says just ask. Get you some. Get you some wisdom. Is it time to take classes and get a better job? Is it time to just quit that job altogether and switch to another job? Is it time to move? Is it time to whatever? Whatever wise advice you need, the God has got it. And he will come through for you. Another way that God will come through for you is just in your everyday situations. Just the stuff that we go through as humans. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. It is impossible to please God without faith. So, all right, so let's take a moment. Let's just talk about faith. What is faith? Faith is confidence. Faith is confidence. So you had confidence in that chair when you sat in it. You have confidence that your car will take you home today. You have confidence that your house will still be standing when you get there. You have we put confidence in stuff all the time. You have confidence that your spouse is not going to leave you. You have confidence that you have confidence. You put confidence in lots of things. Faith is simply confidence in God. Just, I am confident that God will come through for me. And that's the thing about this whole move. That's one of the reasons why I'm not, like when we left here to go there, Shannon and I dealt with a lot of fear, like a lot of fear. We have sort of I can't remember the name of the song now, but it was sort of our anthem for, it had something to do with fear. I can't remember the name of the song now. Anyway, it was like Fear Won't Control Me or something. I don't know. It's in my playlist. So we had a lot of fear, but God came through for us. Like crazy. We sold our house here. We closed on it December the 19th. We packed all of our junk in two U-Hauls, drove to Hopkinsville, and we closed on that house December the 20th. We spent the night at my granny's house. It worked out perfectly. And I've seen God work out that way. So I don't have to be as worried this time because I've seen God do this. Now, I mean, I do have, now there's, you know, there's other things to worry about. You know, like I have to do this. I have to pastor this church, which is a whole new experience for me. He has to be pastored, which is a whole new experience for him. I have to pastor a guy like Gene. Evan, can you imagine? I know. And so it's, but God will do the fighting for me. I have to only believe in him. I have to only have confidence. I have to only have faith in him. And God will fight for me. He will fight for you. There's one more way I want to talk about this morning. Actually, wait a minute. I'm going to stick with this. I want to read a few scriptures here just real quick. I'm just going to pop around, Fred. You don't have to worry. Look at this. I'm still in chapter 11. I'm just going to pop around the Hall of Faith here. It was by faith that Isaac promised blessings for the future, for his future sons, Jacob and Esau. It's by faith that Jacob, when he was old and dying, blessed each one of Joseph's sons and bowed low in worship as he leaned on his staff. It was by faith that Joseph, when he was about to die, said confidently that the people of Israel would leave Egypt. He even commanded them to take his bones with them when he left. It was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months when he was born. They saw that God had given them an unusual child, and they were not afraid to disobey the king's commands. It was by faith that the people of Israel went right through the Red Sea as they were on dry ground. But when the Egyptians tried to follow, they were all drowned. It was by faith that Gideon did what he did. Do you remember the story of Gideon? He surrounded those guys, the Midianites. He surrounded them with 300 dudes, 300 swords and 300 candles, and that's it. And beat an army of thousands with 300 dudes, 300 swords, and 300 candles. That's bonkers, right? It was by faith that he did that. And so it's by faith that all of these things in chapter 11 of Hebrews happened. It was by faith that Noah built a boat when it had never rained. It was by faith that these people did this stuff. And so it's by faith that you and I make it from moment to moment to moment. From testimony to testimony to testimony. That's why I can have my testimony about moving to Hopkinsville, because God came through for me. It was by faith that God came through for me in that moment. So I know he can come through for me in this one. Okay, and then one other thing. We're going to go to Romans. Chapter 10. God will come through for you in salvation. He will come through for you in salvation. I suspect a great many of you in this room know Jesus as your personal Savior. I suspect there's some in here who don't. I suspect there's some of you who have been sitting on pews for years and years and years. And you think you're a Christian, you do a lot of Christian things, but your heart is never connected with Jesus Christ. But he will come through for you. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. So, salvation is a two-parter. It's a two-parter. The first is believing in God. Believing that Jesus was a person and God raised him from the dead. There's the first part. And a lot of people, that's sort of the easy part, if you will. It's easy to know that Jesus was a real person. It's easy to know that God exists. You can see it, you can sense it, you can feel it around you. It's easy to know that God is real. The second part is much harder. It's not just a matter of, okay, you're my guy. Man, it is a knowledge or it is a confessing that Jesus is Lord. And that's not just like a one-time gig. That's a forever kind of gig. It's a life-changing thing. And so this morning, if you were here this morning in this worship set this morning and your heart wasn't connecting with God, man, then I would ask you to inspect. Have you ever really given it to God? Have you ever really given your whole heart to Jesus and said, God, not only do I believe in you, but I'm trusting you forever. I'm giving you everything. I promise you, God will come through for you. And like what I was talking about, like someday, we won't be humans anymore. We won't be strapped down to itchy skin or cold or heat or sin. Sin, I hate it so much, and I do it all the time. It separates me from God. And someday I won't be separated from God like that anymore. It'll just be my heart and His. And that could be you too. That can be you too. Someday you can stand before the Lord just empty and open and broken and nothing between the two of you. God will come through for you. He will come through for you in your money. He will come through for you with wisdom. He'll come through for you in your situations. He will come through for you in salvation. And if you get nothing else, if you don't get any money, any situational help, any wisdom, if you get nothing else, get the salvation. It's the one worth getting. Let's bow our heads. Rebecca, will you? So this morning, I have a question for you. What are you worried about? What's got you anxious? What's got you nervous? What's got you overwhelmed? I want you to take a moment and just think about that. For some of you, it immediately pops up in your head. I know exactly what God is dealing with me about. For me, this week, you know, it was about the woodshed and just all of the trouble that comes with it. What's it in your life? And so this morning, what I'd like to do is I'd like to open this altar up for you to just come here and just lay it before the Lord. Pastor Randy and I will both be here. If you want one of us to pray with you, I'd be happy to do that. I would love to do that. But who you're really looking for when you come up here is God, your Savior. He's the one that you need to take all of the stuff that you're worried about, the stuff, the wisdom that you need, the money that you need, the situational help that you need, the salvation that you need. You need to take all of that and bundle it up before the Lord and just lay it at His feet. So I'm going to pray for you. We're going to sing a little bit. And then at that point I'll hand it back over to Pastor Randy. But I'm encouraging you this morning. This is your chance, man. This is your chance this week to get in front of the Lord and just lay your stuff down in front of Him. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we give You our hurts. We give You our pains. We give You our frustrations, our fears, our anxieties, our nervousness, our worries. We give all of that to You, Father. God, You are faithful with it. You alone love us and care about us. You alone will help us come to solutions, Father. You alone will help us find salvation in You. God, You are glorious. This morning, I pray for us. Help us, Father, to be brave to just lay it down before You and be confident and in faith with You. We love You in Jesus' name.